Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Great moments in history have begun with a question.
To be or not to be, that is the question.
What came first, the chicken or the egg?
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
And what kind of hair product does Mitch Moss use? But Follow the Money wants to know.
Do you concur?
Concur with
what, sir?
Do you concur?
Welcome back. Mitch Moss along with Mike Pallman today for Pauly Howard. And tomorrow, yesterday, Michael Jacob DeGrom. 7 innings, 1 hit, 7 Ks, 2.08 ERA on the year. Max Fried, 7 innings, 4 hits, no earned, 7 Ks, 1.92 ERA on the year. Hunter Brown today, magnificent, 7 innings of scoreless ball, 9 Ks, 1.74 ERA on the year. Garrett Skubal is minus 150 to win the American League Cy Young. I think this award is far from over. Do you concur?
I concur. I also think Skubal should be an odds-on favorite for the way he's pitched. But you have a lot of other guys out there that are lurking around. Now, I'm not big on Crochet because I don't think he's pitched enough innings. Remember the White Sox babied him? I don't know if he can stretch out to 175 or 180 innings. We'll see. Remember, the Red Sox took him out the sixth inning of a tied game, a very important game. I think Brown is live. I think DeGrom is live. I'm not sure about Framber because he had such a bad start after 8 games with an ERA over 5. But I think the others are very live. I hope, for God's sake, Hunter Brown is live, and I'm not praying just for something to go wrong with Skubal. But I concur with you. It ain't over.
You think Fried is live?
You know, when you look at Fried's underlying metrics, they're not quite up there with these other guys that are chasing. The record is there. I'm also a guy that thought Fried was a number two, a very good number two guy. He didn't get to pitch with Cole, number one with him. I think that hurts him in the lineup to try to have to be a one in the rotations. But you can't complain about anything Max Fried's done. First time the Dodgers were a home dog in 3 years was when Max Fried pitched it.
Yeah. Yeah, good. Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. I didn't realize it was that long. We talked a lot about Cooper Flagg in the previous segment and bets that we kind of like at DraftKings. One that I absolutely do not recommend tying up money on is Cooper Flagg to win the NBA Rookie of the Year at minus $2. That's absurd. Do you concur?
I think it's also absurd to bet the Oklahoma City Thunder at plus $2. To win the NBA.
Totally agree.
If I'm going to lock up money for 13 months, it's certainly going to be something that pays 10 to 1 or better.
Now, I
get it if people have huge bankrolls and they're doing this professionally and they can put that money, but there's a cost to money as well. There's a definite cost to money and how much time it takes for a bet to happen. So I do concur.
You can find, countless bets between now and the beginning of the NBA season that are better than tying up your money for that long at minus $2. The Indiana Fever opened up as 10.5 or 11-point favorites tonight at home against the LA Sparks. However, Caitlin Clark, since then, has been ruled out. The line moved, good 4.5, 5.5 points. And the Fever, last check, between, 5.5 or 6-point favorites tonight. Not enough of a move. You concur?
I do not concur. I think it's too much of a move.
They're going to be fine without her?
How can they replace 1 of 10 from 3 and 5 points and 7 turnovers? Because that's what she's been averaging her last 3 games, Mitch. She's obviously still hurt. I said this on Sunday, and now they sit her tonight. What a ridiculous. They go on a 3-game West Coast trip, and now they come home for a quick stop and then a back-to-back in Dallas tomorrow. The WNBA schedule. Everything is so janky about this. Triple-A baseball is run better. But she's not playing well right now. There's a lot of issues surrounding in the periphery. Everything's going on, including DeWanna Bonner leaving. Her coach keeps taking leaves of absences. I don't think she's in a good place with her head, and she's not playing very well right now. A peak Caitlin Clark, I would say 4.5, 5 points is not enough. In her current form, I say it's too much.
Wow, okay.
Aaliyah Boston right now is the MVP of that team.
She's been very good. She came back and had that amazing game against the Liberty.
It was a great moment for the WNBA.
Clark did, for sure.
Yes.
And since then, just not the same.
Been awful.
I was out of town, but I was surprised over the weekend, and I would have lost money on this, so thank God I was out of town. I was surprised the Aces were favored against the Fever. But that was one of those games in which she was dreadful, and the Aces pulled away in the second half.
It closed Fever 1. The Fever, Fever took money. Did you also know this stat? The Fever, and I, you know, she's only been there a year and a bit, but the Fever haven't beaten the Aces since like 2017. They've won 15 straight against the Fever.
Pure domination. All right, ESPN announced this week that comedian Shane Gillis will host the ESPYs this year. It's going to be on July 16th. I have not been this excited to watch this show since Norm Macdonald hosted back in 1998. Do you concur?
No, I don't concur because I don't share your level of excitement. I saw this guy on Saturday Night Live, but I'm not really familiar with his work. I agree. I concur about Norm Macdonald. But didn't you think Peyton Manning was very, very good hosting this show?
I don't know. I didn't watch.
Oh, you didn't watch?
I honestly think that Norm Macdonald was one of the last years that I ever watched the ESPYs.
Basically, you're not interested in the ESPYs.
Not really.
You'd only tune in for the comedy.
When I would tune in occasionally, it's like, this is not my cup of tea.
Okay.
And Norm Macdonald is maybe my favorite comedian of all time. So, and his set that year is still iconic and talked about, and athletes have, I mean, they have no thick skin whatsoever.
Reggie Bush wasn't happy.
No. And he wasn't the only one, right? I mean, it goes back beyond him, and it's just like, I don't think we're ever going to see that ever again from a comedian at the ESPYs, but now you have my attention. And I'll be honest, like, a buddy of mine tried to put me on Shane Gillis like 5 years ago, and I went over to his house, we're watching some of the stand-up, and I'm like, this is not that great. But this guy has since absolutely worn on me. I think he's fantastic. And his appearance on SNL, whenever that was, I forget, but it
2 months ago.
Yeah, it was that was one of the best SNL appearances in that brought me back to my like love of SNL when I was much younger and much more impressionable, and those great casts back in the late 80s and early 90s. That's how good that episode was.
Yeah, I thought it was good, but I don't know of his other work, so I haven't watched his stand-up. But I guess I'll watch now based off your heavy recommendation. I'll tape it and watch it off your heavy recommendation.
He has some really solid stand-up. The Edmonton Oilers traded Evander Kane to the Vancouver Canucks. The Oilers' window to win a cup is closing or closed, do you concur?
Is the second part of that statement supposed to be because of the first part of that statement?
It's tied into getting as far as they did the last 2 years and not winning?
I'm gonna not concur because I think this was a good move for them. They need to get some money. I think they're going after John Gibson.
Okay.
I think that Gibson's gonna be on the market. Dostal is now clearly the number one with this Ducks team. I love this Ducks team, by the way. I got a little, I should have put that in the pizzeria. 100-1 on the Ducks to win the cup. Everybody's window's closing. I don't think it's closing any more so for Edmonton, and I think they're making the right moves to try to go out and get a goalie that can get them over the top.
Well, that goalie would be, I need to see it, right, first to believe it.
Yeah.
But clearly that's the number one move that they have to make in the offseason. And on that note, they announced this, right? An 84-game NHL season is part of the CBA talks. Completely unnecessary. Do you concur?
From the fans' perspective, 100% I concur. Well, what's the point of another two games? But you know that the house revenue is a big part of the NHL. What we know that from dealing with the Blackhawks, and how having a home game on a Tuesday is worth $1.2 million more than having a home game on a Saturday compared to a Tuesday. So I get it from the owner's perspective, but from a fan perspective, do you really need to see two more games? Is that going to help you whittle down to get the best teams in the 16-team playoff?
My whole thought was, what's the point?
I thought it was a joke. My friend texted me. NHL going to 84 games. I said, what was this, a proposal? He's like, oh, no, it's happening. And my question was, why?
Why? Yeah. Why is it happening? However, teams are now allowed to play up to 32 games during the regular season of college basketball. This I like. You concur?
I do like this. I think it allows for more flexibility in the scheduling for these teams. And I think it allows teams to take a little more chances in some of their, let's say, interregional matchups, because they can still get to these certain win totals that they want to get to, and not just all cupcakes, so that they can, you know, get to their 25 or 27 wins.
Maybe we can slot in, you know, the regular season rivalries that have kind of been lost over the years, right? Maybe we can get Kentucky, Indiana every year, for example.
That would be great.
You know, or something along those lines. There you go. Do you concur? But what do you have for scoring this Giants game?
10-5 now. We would have went over the 14.5, and then still hitting, and the Marlins are still hitting.
So not a good week here or a good series for the Giants on the verge of getting swept by the Marlins. And not a good week for the Philadelphia Phillies as they were swept by the Houston Astros. And they were outscored in that series 5-1. Can you imagine that? Philly starters went 19 2/3. They allowed three earned runs the entire time, and they did not pick up a win.
Scratched out the run in the top of the eighth inning today.
Yeah.
So not get blanked for the whole series in Houston.
What kind of a sign is that for the Astros pitching moving forward?
Well, it bodes well for the Astros. And like you say, they just keep to roll up wins here. It was a nice series as the Marlins continue to score now, 11-5. More concern, obviously, on the Philly part. They got three great starting performances and walk away 0-3 in that series.
Mm-hmm. That's rough. That's a rough one to swallow right there. Also, if you have, and I know somebody who has the Rays for the most wins in the month of June, they are one back. They're blistering hot. The team that they're one game back of? Houston.
Houston.
Tampa wins like every day. And everything that we just talked about happened with Philadelphia, and he can't get one Houston loss.
That's tough. That's a tough way to wrap up the month. What were the odds on Tampa?
I think 28-1.
Playing as well as anyone.
One game tonight in Major League Baseball. We'll discuss Braves and the Mets and the Braves starter. Grant Holmes has hit this mark in 10 out of 15 starts already on the year. I'll tell you what it is next.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Coming up in 15 minutes, Lou Finicaro on the program. Best Bets UFC 317 going on this weekend. We only have one more game tonight in Major League Baseball. Everything else was a day game today. Giants-Marlins still going on. Twins-Mariners was pushed back several hours because of a rain delay. But the game that starts in about an hour is Atlanta at the Mets. It's Grant Holmes going for the Braves. Canning is going to go for the Mets in this game. The Braves did open up around 120 as the favorite. Total was 9. Mets are now favored. Sitting here at circa minus 113, total is 8.5. And you talked about this earlier. You grabbed the bets, part of the steam here at minus 105 today.
Yeah, move to the under too, right? I mean, from 9 to 8.5 under 120. I have the Mets as the game moved at minus 105 now. I think still 113. I like the pitching matchup here with the Mets with Canning, who's been pretty good for them. 7-3, recorded 7 wins for this team. He's gotten decent run support. I didn't think it's a pretty bad, an awful matchup for the Mets bats against Grant Holmes. What's Holmes outs prop?
It's 16.5.
I might go under there. I might add to that. I'm not sure that he gets through 6 innings tonight against the Mets, who are patient hitters and don't strike out a lot. So that's it. It was a small play for me, but it was the only pre-flop play I could make.
Okay, so I'll give you some more numbers here on Holmes to see if this means anything to you or not. You just want to throw it out, right? So overall, his record is 4-6 on the year. He's pitched 83 innings, checked at 85. The ERA is 3.71, solid. FIP goes up to 4.41. Okay, not so hot. He strikes out 10.27 Ks per 9, Mike, and walks 4.13 batters per 9. So overall, the K prop tonight is 5.5. The hits prop is 4.5 over minus 155. 16.5 outs, 2.5 walks. Under was minus 190 and 2.5 earned runs. Those are the numbers for him tonight. So far on the year, he has K'd 6-plus batters in 7 out of his 15 starts, so not even half. He's been over 16.5 outs in 10 out of 15 starts this year. And under 4.5 hits in 9 out of 15 starts, over 2.5 walks in 7 of the 15 starts. And some of those are right on the line, so it's not like every game goes over 16.5 outs. But to your point, Mets do have a good lineup. They were in a funk recently. All that is true, but they don't strike out a lot.
Yeah, I'm not. What's the price on the walks prop over 2.5?
Over 2.5 is plus about 140.
Bad. They're a patient team. I would consider, you know, when you talk about player props, I would consider that prop.
Okay. Canning on the flip side, 7-3, over 73 innings pitched, 3.91 ERA, 4.09 FIP, about 8.19 Ks per nine, 4.25 walks per nine as well. So his numbers tonight, also with the K prop, it's 4.5. 4.5 hits allowed, over minus 165. Over 1.5 walks is minus $2. Under is plus 145 on that, and the prop for earned runs allowed is 2.5. He has K'd 5-plus batters in 7 out of 15 starts. However, he's under 4.5, again, the number tonight, in 6 out of his last 7. Under 4.5 hits in 9 starts, over 1.5 walks in 4 out of his last 5 and 10 overall. Hence, there's a lot of numbers there, I understand it, but those are the props for tonight. And so to me, the under K prop against this Braves lineup, he has been under 4.5, which is a small number in 6 out of his last 7 games.
Those are strong trends. We talked about Bailey Ober at Minnesota. What did you say, 13 out of 14 starts?
At one, and then I think he went over his last start.
Well, so then, 13 out of 15.
Sure.
Out of 15. He was actually, though, Ober was throwing 3 miles an hour faster here the other night than he had been. He was hitting 94 on the gun again, where he had been way down throwing 89, 90.
Mm-hmm.
I could see the argument for the under. Under 4.5 is a very low number. Especially if you figure you're going to play six innings. You can record 18 outs.
Yeah, right.
And you can't get 5 of them by strikeout.
Sure. Have you thought about which 6 teams are going to make the playoffs in both leagues?
I have. I have a pretty good feeling in the National League. I believe it's Mets, Phillies, Cubs, Brewers, Dodgers, and then the 6th team is either the Giants or the Padres.
Okay, so one of those would be left out. You're not buying into the Cardinals stuff.
I still think they're fugazi.
Same here. And the Braves just too far back, too big of a hole?
Tough. I think it's tough. Although, I know you said, what was it, the 10th easiest schedule? Or I guess you could stockpile, but it's a balanced divisions now. It's not like they get to play Washington and Miami a ton.
Mm-hmm.
Miami's doing a number on San Francisco here this week.
Sure, and you're not buying into the Diamondbacks?
Burns is done.
The Burns injury is too much?
Gallen.
Let me ask you this. Is Zach Gallen never going to be the same guy ever again?
Like a shadow of himself.
Not even close to the same guy.
Are we going to find out, like we did with Burns 3 years later, he needs Tommy John?
Right.
It took us 3 years of Burns.
It took
Burns
a long
going,
time.
Down a cliff, Mitch. Down a cliff he went.
Brewers are like, yeah, go ahead, pal.
His
go,
last
go to
year
Baltimore.
In Milwaukee, and then Baltimore, and then Arizona.
Yeah.
This.
Yeah. And we're seeing that right now with Zach Gallen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to guess here, he had a really good, probably, 2.5-year stretch? Maybe it was 3 years?
Make a lot of money on him because the market didn't recognize, really, until that last year,
how good he was. Yeah, he was so good for that small amount of time, but I don't think he's even close to the same guy. Okay, I'm not going to disagree too much there with the National League.
Okay.
I would not be stunned if we get 3 teams in from the National League West.
Okay.
Then give me the 6 teams in the American League.
Do you think Milwaukee could be left out?
No, I think they're really good. I think they'll eventually make it. Then I guess it would come down to only one team making it from the National League East. That seems a little far-fetched.
I don't have as good a grip on the American League. So I'll say Yankees, Rays, Tigers. And I think this is a one-bid league, the Central. And then Mariners along with the Astros would be my guess there.
And then so the Blue Jays would sneak in as a 5th team? The Red Sox get it together?
Red Sox, no. I don't think so for the Red Sox. I actually think the Angels are a little interesting. I did bet them over 72.5 wins. I think they're much feistier than they've been in previous years, this Angels team. I guess it's a far stretch. On paper, the Blue Jays should be in. On paper, they have a great starting staff. It hasn't always developed. You know, Barrios has sort of been disappointing.
Yes.
Outside of today, Gausman is up and down. I'll go with the Toronto there.
Toronto, okay. I did this with Will Hill here on VSiN. But we were doing it on his podcast. I want to say it was at least a month ago. And at the time I was saying, I think I'm going to buy into like the Royals still making it because I like the pitching. There's absolutely, I can't buy in to any of that team right now.
I have them over 82 and a half. It's not going to get there.
They're a dead team walking.
Can't score. They don't. I thought they look, they have a lot of team speed. They got Bobby Witt and the starting pitching and Lesurg and all this. And I said, this team will compete with the Tigers to win the division. I think I bet them at 315 or something to win the division too. It's been a slow, painful watch of this team so far this year.
And then which team in the American League do you think would be built for the postseason, not just a regular season team?
Well, I think the Astros because of the starting pitching. They're really tough in a 5-game and 7-game series.
Yeah. Well, do you think the Mariners can get there?
I think they can get to the playoffs. Can they win that first series?
Can they be a playoff team to
reckon
with?
Can Raleigh keep playing this well? I mean, he's carrying this team right now.
For sure.
They have a depth of pitching. Kirby's got to figure out his way.
Right. You can go in the playoffs. It's going to be Gilbert and, like, Wu. This Wu kid's awesome.
I'm more high on Wu than any of them.
Okay.
More than Gilbert. Luis Castillo's a shell of himself too, Mitch. He reminds me of Verlander at this point.
Kind of, yep. Yep.
He's a guy that can try to eat 5 innings for you.
I don't disagree with that either. Yep. You want to know where the money is really going? Unlike other sources, our betting splits come straight from here at Circa and DraftKings Sportsbooks, giving you insight into where the sharp action is landing. Circa is known for taking big bets from pro bettors, while DraftKings provides a broader market perspective. That means you're getting the real action, not just public money, but the kind of wagers that move lines. See the percentage of bets versus the percentage of handle on every game across every major sport, helping you bet smarter and more informed as well. Get VSiN's exclusive betting splits for as little as $9.99 for your first month. All you have to do is go to vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. And meanwhile, you are buying into the Brewers. You had this in the pizzeria a little bit earlier, 25-1 to win the National League. So you're telling me that you clearly think that they would be built for the playoffs as well.
Yes, I do. I absolutely think they're built for the playoffs. Hard to say what the Dodgers are going to be. They're going to be what they need to be. But I think the Brewers will at some point challenge the Dodgers, whether it's in the division series or the National League Championship Series.
We will discuss UFC 317 with Lou Finocchiaro up next. Lou loves betting on dogs. This weekend is no exception. Pretty nice card this weekend, UFC 317 here in Las Vegas. We head out now to the Progressive Guest Line as Lou Finocchiaro joins the program. He has the Bout Business podcast. He's on X at GamLou, does his weekly write-ups as well on the website here at vsin.com. Good afternoon, Uncle Lou. Thanks for the time today. How are you?
I'm doing great. Mitch, Michael, thank you so much for having me on today.
Let's begin with the main event here. Charles Oliveira, a plus 360 dog here, and I think he was higher than that in recent days, taking on Topuria, who was priced around minus 470, maybe even a little bit lower, I guess, in some spots based on the movement there. But anything for you here on the main event?
This will be the smallest of the bets we talk about this afternoon, Mitch. I think that Topuria, who moves up from featherweight, was undergoing tremendous difficulty making that weight, is going to be fighting at a weight way more comfortable. Anywhere you read or look, this is Topuria being a brand new lawn boy and his opponent Oliveira being spring grass, and the lawn boy is just going to roll right over him. I don't see the fight exactly like that. I believe Topuria should be a favorite. He opened 300. I think the line's gotten out of hand. Oliveira also came from 145, but some years ago, and he's a longer, more structured athlete. He carries the weight a little bigger, and he's the more legitimate lightweight, I'll say, just because of his time in the division. He's durable, strong. He's beaten the best except Makhachev, and I think he's there to try and win this fight. The way I think I'd like to make a bet that favors Oliveira is to look at that over 1.5, even fight to start round two where you can get outside of Las Vegas. That's a plus 100. I feel strongly that Oliveira will do better than most think. I just don't think he's going to be able to win this fight.
Let's go to the co-main event, the title fight in the flyweight division between the belt holder Alexander Pantoja and Kai Kara France. Obviously, the champ is the favorite, Lou.
Yeah, Mike, and there's a story here. 9 years ago, these guys were in the Ultimate Fighter together. Then France was 23, met Pantoja in the final. Pantoja entered, and everyone knew he was the lion, and he was the one that was going to win this thing, or at least the one to beat. And in that final, Pantoja won a decision. He had taken Kara France down a few times. Kara France bounced right up. Since then, 9 years have passed. Now, Pantoja's 35, Kara France 32. As soon as that fight, Kara France went to work with Eugene Behrman at City Kickboxing, arguably the most renowned mixed martial arts gym in the world. And so Kara France is coming back into this fight, the full-grown man that he fought 9 years ago, and Pantoja, who is versed and talented, is sitting atop a division that is paper thin. Even Kara France is 1-2 in his last fights, but he's got power, will, and takedown ability, and he's coming into a rematch. I think there's a lot of story to tell for Kara France, especially when you consider how easy it is for Pantoja to get hit. He's too willing to take shots, and he's somewhat of an undersized flyweight. I like Kara France plus the 200.
All right, very good. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Lou Finocchiaro, Bout Business Podcast, and at GamLou on X. Again, his write-ups are on a weekly basis, can be found at VSiN.com. How about flyweight here? Joshua Van, a small favorite against Brandon Royval.
I think there's as much story with this fight as the last, and this one revolves around Royval, who's fought for the championship, but seems to, for whatever reason, get constantly disrespected. But he's legit, although he's long and gangly and awkward. In walks this opponent that's supposed to take the world by storm, Joshua Van. He's 23, and the big story that I'm hearing is that he just had a fight 3 weeks ago. But if you peel the onion back a little further, this is going to be his seventh fight in 6 months. That is too much work. He's 23. He doesn't know it. This is a PhD in MMA fight. Royval is too pedigreed, and there are levels to this. Van will find out Saturday night that he's trying to pack 5 pounds of manure in a 2-pound bag, and he needs to rest a little bit. This is Roy. This is a really nice spot for Royval.
All right, then we have Beneil Dariush taking on Renato Moicano, Lou.
Couple of 36-year-old guys that the winner stays relevant and the loser, arguably goes down to somewhat gatekeeper post. Everyone knows Moicano because he's been so vivacious and he has totally turned on his media darling presence, knowing that social media is how to get fights and how to get fans. And he's been a lightning rod for publicity and popularity. But he's going to fight a guy that is as good a grappler as he is, as good a striker as he is, and has a little bit more power than he. And I think Moicano's getting recency activity. And this fight opened Beneil Dariush plus a 150 or so, come down to close to pick him. Dariush, I believe, is the right side in this fight, and I'm looking forward to taking him at any kind of plus price.
Oh, very good. Okay, so then what do you want to do with Price and Smith? That would be a plus money bet as well.
Yeah, and here's a guy in Smith, this Kobe Smith, and he's got it all. I mean, if he just looks at you, you go down. And he's a minus 2,100 in this fight. All I'm trying to do here is give Price a little bit of credit for the vast amount of experience, size, and length that he's going to have in this fight. He also knows he's being set up as a patsy. For this fight to start round two, you get plus money on Price. I think he can do that. and I'll hope he's run foresting run for 5 minutes of this fight just to hear that bell for round two.
All right, Gregory Rodriguez is a big favorite, higher than $2 against Jack Hermanson here in the middleweight fight on UFC 317 coming up this weekend. And again, you're trying to find plus money on Rodriguez, yeah?
I'm just trying to find plus money. And the bait, I think the best way to handle this fight, I see a lot of people that I respect on Hermanson, and I just don't get it. He doesn't like to be bullied. And this RoboCop is this big, huge, oversized Brazilian with unbelievable power in his hands, and he can grapple a good deal. Hermanson is a grappler. I don't think Hermanson can get him down, and I don't think Hermanson's going to like being backed up. I think this is a one-sided RoboCop whooping. And for that reason, RoboCop inside the distance, but via any finish, plus 140. I think I like that bet quite a bit.
I think if you have the nickname RoboCop, right, you have to be like one of the baddest dudes on the planet, period.
He can slow in the third round and get caught. He's right up there with that chin. But Hermanson doesn't have the power or the striking to be able to expose him in this fight, in my opinion.
Overall, how would you grade the card in terms of entertainment value on Saturday?
Outstanding. Listen, the UFC puts on 44 to 46 cards a year that keeps me employed. I'm never going to criticize a card. And for this one, which is their banner card of the year, they've done all they can to get everybody in there. They had to get in there. The only omission, obviously, is the heavyweights, Tom Aspinall and Jones. And that's another story for another day.
Hey, you know, I was hanging out this past weekend with a bunch of UFC fans. One guy covers the sport, and we were kind of kicking that around, like, how good is this event? And they were like, oh, this card is awesome on Saturday.
Going to be totally entertaining, and I think it's going to be riddled with violence. Make sure you tune in and catch the early prelims, too.
Follow him on X at GamLou. You can read him every week at vsin.com. Thanks, Uncle Lou. We appreciate that.
Thanks so much for having me on, guys. Have a great rest of the show.
Thank you for coming on with
Lou
us.
Lou Finicaro was on the Progressive guest line. Yeah, they do this is like their banner event, like you said.
It's an International Fight Week.
It is, yeah, mm-hmm. Which I've been to once.
Oh, really?
I went to it. A childhood friend of mine was in town. Kind of lost touch over the years. Came back. Huge UFC fan. My dad was in town. His dad was in town. We're like, want to go check it out? And it was not a disappointment at all. It was absolutely worth the time to go out there and check it out for like a half of a day that we were there.
They are tremendous productions.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. You're going to usually get your money's worth overall. I mean, but he always is trying to find plus money. And there he just ran down, I think, what was it, 6 bets in different ways to bet some of these cards or some of the fights overall in the card. So have you been to a UFC card?
I have not.
Have you been to the Slap?
Once.
And?
I'm glad I went.
Okay.
And I check it off the list, just like EDC. I'm glad I went, and it's checked off the list.
Go to a UFC card sometime. Right. They're great to be at in person.
I want to go to one when it's at the Sphere. How about that?
They're probably never going to do that ever again. So you had your chance, Sal. We'll get to in-pocket plays coming up next on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it, take it, take it.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're on.
I had a winner last night. Jacob Lopez for the A's over 5.5 Ks. That paid plus 114. I certainly did not think it was going to be a winner based on where he was at in the game. After 6 innings, he was at 90 pitches and 5 Ks, and I thought, well, that's going to be a loser because I don't think they're going to bring him out for another inning. And then, well, hold on a second. Here he comes again, and he struck out one more. So it got there, and he threw more than 100 pitches last night. So I will take that one. The month has not been great, Mike. 10 and 20 on the bets, minus 7.2 units overall. Starting to creep back. with some decent wins so far this week. I wish it would continue tonight. However, there's only one game still on the betting board. I have nothing in the WNBA. So in baseball, I really don't feel like forcing a bet because I don't like anything between the Mets and the Braves.
Yeah, two games in the WNBA. One of them is the game where Caitlin was out. I think I was going to take a little stab at the Sparks catching 10.5. Aces are on a run, but this is what, third game in 4 days for them with this WNBA scheduling. Let's go back to last night. Rays, Rasmussen, great job for the Rays, and they continue to roll. Shutout again. The Royals today. Cardinals, that was no good from the go. Fetty got pounded early, and Boyd was great. And then the Mariners, Twins first five. Was the same situation with the hedge that I did with the Padres game. So I approached them that way with the one-run differences. And when you have that situation, when you get to the fifth or the bottom of the fifth, which happened last night. Let's go to tonight. I do have a play on the one game. I got the Mets as the numbers started to move -105. I think we're sitting at most places around 113, 114 right now. I like the matchup here with Canning pitching tonight. And I think the patient bats of the Mets will take advantage of Grant Holmes. So small play here on the Mets.
Yeah, very good.
Our new NFL betting guide comes out on Tuesday, July 1st. And early access means a better shot at spotting value in future markets before the lines move. Now's the perfect time to join with our football special. Just $175 for full VSiN Pro access from today through Super Bowl. That's every sport we cover every day at a special early bird price. The sooner you sign up, the more you get out of it. A daily Best Bets email from Bill 80 early in the morning with all the picks from both our hosts and guests. Real-time betting splits from Circa and from DraftKings. You can watch our shows live and on demand and full access to all the betting tools, pro systems, and analytics. All you need to do is go to vsin.com/subscribe now and lock in the football special. Just $175. That's vsin.com/subscribe. And as we are talking, the Twins have scored two runs in the bottom of the fifth here to take a 2-0 lead over the Mariners.
Trevor Larnach.
Two-run shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is Woods Richardson, who through five innings has six strikeouts, has allowed two hits, one walk, no earned, obviously. And Hancock, that's his first blemish of the entire game. So we mentioned this earlier in the show. For those just tuning in right now, seven different teams got shut out yesterday in Major League Baseball. That is tied for the second most on a single day in the history of the sport. Seven shutouts has happened 11 times on one day. Eight shutouts happened back, I think it was in the early 70s when we talked about it. Today, on a short card, only nine games. Four teams have already been blanked. The Rockies scored one. That was right away against the Dodgers. And the Phillies scored one. That was way late in the eighth after the Astros pulled Hunter Brown. And right now, the Mariners have zero runs and we're in the bottom of the fifth. The Braves and the Mets play coming up in about 20 minutes here. I'm going to guess this is just a complete blip on the radar and something that people should not be betting starting tomorrow, right? Individual teams to get shut out. Or is it maybe a thing here where the speculation kind of throughout the season, minus those torpedo bats to begin the year, has been, might be a little bit of a dead baseball here?
I just to talk to the point about, you know, betting specific shutouts, the teams, to your point, that didn't get shut out, two of them scored one run. I mean, and the winning scores are 3-6, 8-4, 3-2. So just totals in general, for, you know, specific of shutout, the totals in general have been a big under, but once again, one day, one week is a short sample size. Well, here we've gotten 2 days of it, a day and a half of full action.
Right, and bad week again for the Giants. They lost 12-5 today to the Marlins, so they were swept by them. And I can't get over what happened to Philadelphia. Their starters in this series against Houston, they went more than 19 innings, allowed three earned runs, and the team never won a game. The Astros scored five runs in the series, and they swept them. That's pretty difficult to do.
Also, think about the part of your rotation you threw in Houston. Suarez, Wheeler.
And Sanchez.
And Sanchez, and yeah. You go over. Whether you're 1-2-3. That's tough. And now, the Phillies. Where are they headed, Mitchie? They are going, to Atlanta for the weekend.
That should be an easy one for him, right? So the most wins in June. I bet this every single month. Circa does a great job offering it. Caesars also offers the bet, the market, and so does DraftKings. Houston has 17 wins in this month. They are 17-6. They are the leaders right now. The Rays have 16 wins this month. And they're winning like every single day. And again, a buddy of mine has the Rays this month. I think it's 28-1. Astros won't lose. And the Rays have been one of the hottest teams in baseball going back to what, May 20th? Something along those lines. The Dodgers are at 15. And then a bunch of teams are at 14. How about this list of teams, by the way? The Diamondbacks, your Brewers, and the Angels have 14 wins this month.
So we close out. We have 3 days left. Well, 4 days left. You count Monday. Houston hosts the Cubs, while the Rays are in Baltimore.
Well, Baltimore was one of the hottest teams in the month as well. They have 13 wins. So they obviously picked it up a notch, and they were playing some of the best baseball for the entire month until recently. But I think you guys are probably going to post most wins in June or for July.
He's working on it tonight.
Okay.
There's a chance we have Chris Bennett on the show tomorrow if he can get it done tonight so that he can go through the process he made. But it's time limited. If he doesn't get it done tonight, he won't get it done till after the show tomorrow. So
gotcha. Okay. I would say this, and I bring it up all the time with Paulie. It's one of my favorite markets to bet in baseball the entire year. It's a lot of fun. And for the most part, as you're seeing right now, while Houston and the Rays have a nice edge going into the final few days here of this month, but almost every month it comes down to two, three, four, five teams, and it comes down to the last day and what's going to happen sometimes at night of the final game, like a lot.
In May, you had the Tigers.
Yeah.
And a sad ending.
Yeah, that was a split, I think, three different ways. A dead heat.
Yeah. Did you play anybody this month?
I played the Yankees based on the schedule and what the projected money lines were going to be, and they've been a total flop. I mean, did not go well for them this week against the Reds. They got pounded by the Red Sox in 5 out of the 6 games. So here's one thing to keep in mind about July. Because of the All-Star break, you are going to have a major difference in games played for a lot of these teams. Some will play, I think, maybe as low as 23. Others play as many as 26. So that,
have you started to look at who you're going to play in the month?
A very small amount.
Okay.
Yeah. Needed to marinate here for another minute or so. So, all right, stay tuned here after Follow the Money on VSiN. Pack Night, VSiN Primetime, Matt Eumanns, Will Hill, CFL Angles with Ian Cameron, to Sharp Draft Props with Aaron Moore and Greg Peterson, plus former Major League catcher Chris Jimenez, and Golf Insight from Christopher Powers. There you go. That's a powerhouse lineup built for bettors. Then stick around for Cash It Out with Greg Peterson starting at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. And then wake up tomorrow with VSiN by the Books, Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis at 7 a.m. You look at the picks page every day at VSiN?
I do.
Jensen's good for a dozen to 20 every single day.
See, he's a high volume bettor like our own Wes Reynolds.
Right. Yeah. Wes likes to. Wes even posts the in-play stuff on the site a lot of times.
It's tough to because of the lag for people to get down on that, but he does as well.
Yeah, you gotta log in. You gotta have it ready to go. Get the number out as soon as possible, and then you know you're watching stuff that might be 90 seconds behind. You know,
if you do it on a half inning or between a quarter, you can get there. But other than that, the number gets by too fast.
Yeah. How has the live betting been on baseball now that we're in, you know, late June?
Well, we get a few heavy volume bettors that we're betting. We did well today because somebody was betting the under in the Tigers and A's game, and we got those runs in the eighth to put it over.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. But pretty good. Like this is it, and then it's WNBA right now.
Well, now it's going to increase now. Not that many people bet the WNBA.
Yeah. Okay. All right, that's it for us. Again, stay tuned for VSiN Primetime coming up. Eumanns and Will Hill for the next 4 hours. Good luck with your bets tonight. We'll see you tomorrow.